Welcome to Liberate Your People Pleaser. I am your host, Brenda Florida, certified life coach, and you might be a people pleaser if you sacrifice your needs or your wants or your feelings to benefit someone else, or you keep silent when something bothers you or upsets you, or you're super critical and feel like you're probably your own worst enemy. Well, here's what I've got in store for you for this podcast. First of all, there's nothing wrong with you and you don't need fixing. What we need to do is leverage the superpowers of being a people pleaser, because there are definite superpowers. You are super intuitive, I am sure. You have great powers of empathy, the ability to read a situation and know what's going on with people and those around you. So what we're going to do in each episode is talk about ways to disempower the parts of it that are diminishing and don't serve us anymore, and level up or empower all those superpowers. So join me in the next episode of Liberate Your People Pleaser. Hello, everyone. So today on Liberate Your People Pleaser, we're going to talk about a particularly special category of people pleasing that I call partner pleasing. You know, people pleasing reaches all areas of our lives. It affects us in our work. It affects us in our relationships with our children and our relationship with our own family members, our friends, and especially our lovers, spouses, partners, whatever they are to you. Even if you're just dating and, you know, maybe you have a steady boyfriend, or, you know, you're dating, you know, multiple people or whatever, it's still going to creep into that relationship. So this may be the most important category that we can really talk about, because our romantic relationships are so central to how we tend to see ourselves. We often, they're very, very much like how it was when we were children with our parents. So if we got a lot of criticism from our parents, we didn't feel good about ourselves, right? If we got a lot of praise and approval from our parents, even if others criticize us or something, we had a tendency to not believe it, or to stand up to it if we're being bullied or something like that. Because the parental relationship kind of gives a child in a very natural way the sort of grounding and solid self-esteem they need to stand up against the hardships that come at them in life, because that's natural. We all have hardships that come at us. So the problem with most of us is that we didn't have that sort of grounding in self-esteem that would have come from our parents. And not to blame our parents or be critical of our parents or whatever, they all did the best they could do, right? But the best they could do wasn't necessarily what was really great for us and what gave us that foundation. Otherwise, we wouldn't be people pleasers. Being a people pleaser comes, you know, this is oversimplified, but it comes very much out of a need to seek love and approval because we don't feel like we're getting it. If you have something, you're not seeking it, right? So we're seeking that love and approval from other people. We sought it from our parents, or at least one of them, or a primary caregiver. It doesn't matter whether they're your parents or not. If it's whoever was that primary influence in your childhood. So if you weren't getting it from them, you did things to seek their approval. You know, you were the star of, you know, everything. You got straight A's, you were on the football team, or the, you know, you were in dance, or you were a cheerleader, or you were, you know, whatever. I was in choir, whatever. We're performing our way into acceptance and approval, right? Or we're trying not to be any trouble, or we're the peacemaker in the family. That's a great way to get love and approval, right? So this carries into our romantic relationships. And it starts the minute we start dating. It starts the minute we start you know, looking at an online profile for someone, or someone looks at ours, how we write our online profiles if you're in online dating, or the conversations we start having with someone when we first meet them. It's so subtle, but trust me, it starts from the very beginning. So once we're in the relationship, these things, you know, tend to get sort of patterned into how we relate to our significant other or partner, spouse, or whatever. I'm just going to call them lover because that's so much more fun anyway. And hopefully they are your lover as well. So how does partner pleasing impact your relationship? You may know the answer to that right off. I would love to hear that from you. And we can address some of these more specifically in future episodes, because this is something we will continue to cycle around to, because it's so fundamentally important to all of us who are people pleasers and who are changing our dynamics in our lives so that we're not behaving out of people pleasing, that fear of not being loved and approved, but we're changing the habit and behaving out of a place of genuine self-esteem and security that comes from what now we probably have to cultivate in ourselves, a thing which I like to call my loving inner presence. So this is kind of like my ideal mother, my ideal father, who is telling that little girl inside of me who gets scared, who gets worried she's not going to be loved, that it's going to be all right. Here's what we can do, you know? And so she's kind of, it's really about reparenting ourselves. There's no more glamorous way to say that. That's what we do, because that little child in us that was hurt to begin with, that started these coping mechanisms of people pleasing, she's still, he's still there. Okay. And you know, in case you're unsure of this, this is not a gender issue. It oftentimes can manifest more in women, but I have had plenty of men clients who are people pleasers through and through. So, you know, it is not gender specific. Anybody can get caught in this dynamic, because again, it's just something that comes out of our a childhood need for something we didn't get, and how we coped with that and tried to get that as a child, and then carries into our adult life. So I'm going to cover really two aspects of where partner pleasing gets really insidious and destructive to ourselves and really to our relationships. Now, there's a million of these we could cover. So like I said, this won't be the last podcast about partner pleasing. And I would love to hear what trips you up and where you get triggered in your partner pleasing. And I'll address that. But today we're going to talk about two things. Empathy and how our empathy, which is a very natural, beautiful gift, can get us into silencing ourselves. And then communication, the sometimes inability, or it's probably not an inability, but it's a trained way of communicating in a way that isn't actually super clear. And so our partner doesn't always know what we really want and what we really need. And that's because, again, we've been trained to not be a problem, right? Not rock the boat, not have too many needs. In fact, most of us really were trained, programmed to not have any needs. So let's start with that one. So I can remember times, especially with my first husband, where I would feel like I asked him something, you know, for something I needed in a very direct way. And he would not answer me. He would, you know, not respond to me in a way that made any sense to me. And I can remember being like, how can he not get this? How does he not get what I'm asking for? And I remember one day with my therapist, I was, you know, complaining about him and how he just didn't get me and what I was asking for. And so she asked me to repeat to her what I had said to him. And when I did, she lovingly looked at me and said, "Well, I don't really know what you're asking for. So I'm sure he didn't either." And I was so surprised because I felt like I had been so clear. So here's one of the little traps of being a people pleaser is we've gotten so conditioned into not getting what we want and need. And probably even being shamed or criticized for asking for what we want and need. We kind of get, you know, like we're trying to go through the back door so we can get a need or a want met and nobody really knows what happens, right? Like kind of sneak it in there or something. And so our communication doesn't tend to be very clear about it. So one of the things I say when I'm first working with clients and they're trying to improve their communication skills, and this is true, I teach this also in leadership programs that I teach. So please don't take this as any sort of like you're in kindergarten and, you know, there's some kind of backhanded insult in this. Most adults struggle with communication, right? That's really the number one issue in all relationships, be it professional or personal. So, you know, this is just stuff that nobody taught us in school. So one of the ways I like to teach people to do this is to ask for what you want or explain, you know, what you're needing or what's happening for you, something that's upset you or something like that, in a way that probably, you know, like a 5-6-year-old, maybe 7-year-old, a small child, okay, could understand. So I have grandchildren that are all in that age group. They're 6, 7, and 10. So let's stick with Josie and Kaylin, my girls. If I was going to talk to a 6 or 7-year-old about, I'm super fatigued and exhausted. Like I've worked too much. I've had a bunch of deadlines. I've had an off day. Like actually this was sort of my day yesterday. It was just off from the moment I woke up. I don't know why, nothing happened, you know, but whatever. Every day can't be an on day. And I had a lot of work, I've got a lot of deadlines this week. I've got a new package coming out I'm super excited about. I've got this online virtual bold camp for girls the week after Christmas that I'm super excited about. So lots going on there. Like, you know, just a lot of things, client appointments, da, da, da. This podcast to record, you know, all the things. It's the holidays, the decorating, the Christmas shopping, the, you know, all the things, normal life. And so yesterday, I just like everything I did was a struggle. Okay. And just, I wasn't as efficient as I usually am. I, you know, just all the things, you know what I'm talking about. So if I had a partner, which I don't right this minute, but I would need to communicate to him that, you know, maybe I needed some help. Like I just needed him to take care of dinner or let's, you know, order out or whatever, because I'm off and overwhelmed and I got too much going on and nothing feels easy to me today. So in my old days, that probably would have come out as some kind of passive attempt. Like, let's just focus on dinner. Let's just say I was gonna cook, I don't wanna cook, or maybe we never talked about it, you know? And now I want to order in. Let's get DoorDash or something. But instead of just saying, like my granddaughter could understand, hey, Josie, hey, Kaylin, we're going to get DoorDash for dinner tonight. All right. Grandma B is a little busy, had a lot to do today, isn't having a great day. I'm going to get some DoorDash. They would understand that, right? And they probably wouldn't have any objection to it. Or they might. Maybe I said I was going to make spaghetti and that's their favorite meal and they're going to be disappointed about that. Whatever. It's all right. We can deal with that, right? I'm just like, yeah, but just too much going on here. I'm going to get DoorDash. But with, so that's very straightforward. And that's clear communication. And a 7-year-old can understand that. Okay. Now, here's what I would have done with my spouse. I would have either done something kind of passive, like, hey, I was thinking we could order DoorDash today. And if he said, oh, I was really hungry for spaghetti, then I would take that as a no. I would interpret that as, great, I finally asked for what I need and he says no, or he's against it, or I'm not going to get it because he wants spaghetti, right? So, but that's not actually true, right? That's not what happened. Probably when I tell the story, you can see that. You can be like, well, first of all, you didn't really say that's what you wanted. You just suggested it. And then even when he says, no, he was really looking forward to spaghetti, does that mean you have to make spaghetti? You know, all I needed to say was follow that up with, well, you know what, honey? I don't have the time and energy for spaghetti. Now, if he'll cook, we could say, you can make spaghetti if you want. Otherwise, let's do DoorDash. But when we're people pleasers, we tend to ask for what we want in a very sort of passive way, like that, where we're just kind of, it's like a suggestion that we want somebody to say yes to. Or sometimes we'll get overly aggressive, right? I wait until I'm really wound up, really tired for the day. And I'm just like, oh, well, we have to get DoorDash. I said I would cook, but I'm not going to, you know, blah, blah, blah. And our spouse is like, whoa, 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 what just happened? You know? So I wouldn't do that to my 7-year-old either. Right. So keeping it really simple and being really clear, because if I went to my granddaughter and said, what do you think about, you know, ordering in versus cooking, that's not telling her what I need. Then she's going to give me whatever answer, right? She may want tacos instead of spaghetti. She may want to go to Chick-fil-A in the drive-thru. She may want, you know, I'm asking for suggestions. That's not asking for what I want or need. So that's tip number one. And I want you just to really watch how that happens to you. How you may think you're asking for something, but you've not actually asked for it. You've suggested something around it or that thing. You might have been suggesting the very thing you wanted, but a lot of times I didn't even do that. I would suggest, you know, all around it, because I was afraid of what felt like the rejection of asking for what I needed and then being told no, because that's what happened to me over and over as a child. And so who wants to go through that again? But you're not a child, you're a grown ass adult. And so even though your child and its hurts and needs gets triggered when these things happen, especially at the holidays, because the holidays get so, our feelings and emotions and our history in our psyches and our unconscious get so enmeshed with our family of origin and what we grew up with. So this is particularly tricky at the holidays. Okay. So give yourself credit for that. And you always get a do-over. So you can always say, you know what, honey, I just asked you, what about DoorDash? And you said you wanted spaghetti. And actually I realized that's not what I mean. I mean, I don't want to cook. I don't want you to cook because I don't even want the mess around me. I need us to get DoorDash tonight. Plain and simple. That's so simple. And there, you notice I didn't include any rationalizations, right? So that's the other thing we tend to do, is stack up the evidence for why it's okay. I'm asking for DoorDash because I did this and I did that and we haven't eaten out for a while and this and that and da 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 da. Because I feel like I have to give all these big rationalizations. Again, to a 6 or 7 year old, you wouldn't do that. I mean, maybe you would say one thing, grandma's having a super busy day, not feeling great, you know, whatever, you might say something, you might give some reason why, but you wouldn't be going on and on about that. Because frankly, no 6 or 7 year old cares about all your reasons. They just want to know, what are you going to do? What are you not going to do? Whatever. So take that to heart and tell me how that goes for you. Tell me how that resonates and if it works. The second thing I want to talk about today is empathy, and how empathy for our partner will get us off track. Normally, empathy is a fantastic quality. And I did an episode, I'll put a link in the show notes. I think I called it the dark side of empathy, because that's what it is to me. We hear so many people talk, especially now in this COVID year, about, oh, they're so empathetic and they just feel all the feelings of all the people and all the, you know, things. And, you know, empathy is a great quality, but real empathy isn't meant to be personally like traumatizing or personally crippling. There's the word I was looking for. Personally crippling. Empathy is a gift, And we have to learn, like all gifts. I'm a great cook, but I don't cook all day, every day, right? There's no, not an end to, I mean, there is an end. So it's not an ever flowing sea of food coming out of that kitchen, right? Because that would just be too much. Nobody, you know, that's not healthy. Well, empathy is the same way. It is a gift that has to be, you know, monitored, that has to be looked after and used as a gift for you, not as a detriment to you. I mean, it just breaks my heart when people talk about how empathy basically makes their life so difficult and so miserable, because empathy is only meant to make me be able to see your perspective, not to take it as my own, or to be able to see your feelings, understand your feelings, not to become your feelings. Just because you're in grief, let's say, because you lost a loved one or something, doesn't mean I have to be in grief. In fact, I probably can't even serve you as well if I let my empathy for your grief pull me into my own experience of grief. Then how am I even going to be able to serve you? I need to stay where I am. If I'm in joy, I need to stay in joy, because I can serve from joy. I can understand through empathy your feeling of loss, or, you know, whatever it is, or a perspective. So here's how this really F's up our relationships. So I say, we'll just stay in my silly little example, because silly little examples sometimes make it easy, right, to kind of see the dynamic. Let's stay with my request for DoorDash instead of spaghetti for dinner. And my husband responds, let's say I even asked really directly, like, honey, I don't want to cook. I want to do DoorDash. It's been a long day. And he's like, oh, you know, and he's not being whiny or an asshole. Okay. He's just like, oh, I was so hungry for spaghetti. Like, I really, you know, I love having you cook. I love the smells in the kitchen. You know, whatever. And so I see that, right? I'm like, oh, he's really sincere about that. And that does bring him joy. And, you know, maybe it's deeper than that. And I know it reminds him of his mom who passed away and makes him feel all warm and fuzzy, like whatever, okay? Because that's what we think of, right? We think of all the ways. And if it's not a delightful example like I'm giving, it's something they're doing that's more hurtful, then that empathy will go, oh, but I know, you know, his mom used to yell at him, so he doesn't like it if I raise my voice. And I get that, right? So we get in that, like, oh, I get that. I get where he's coming from or she's coming from. And I know, you know, maybe that's kind of their dysfunction, but I know where that dysfunction comes from. So I'm going to really get that. And we do so much getting of where they're at and why they're there, that we silence ourselves, where they're at and why they're there. And our empathetic ability to understand that and see that then shuts us out. It says, well, I'm going to have empathy for them, but I'm not going to have empathy for myself. The fact that I don't want to cook, the fact that I'm burned out, the fact that I'm having a bad day, all those things, that's suddenly not as important. And that's simply not true. So I want to leave you with this today. Empathy is not meant to be used against you. All right. It is meant to be used for you, so you can see how another person is responding or reacting, or have that intuition or whatever, or appreciate it or have compassion for it or whatever. And that stops there, because that's their journey. And your job is not their journey. Your job is your own journey. And so don't turn your empathy away from yourself in order to turn it towards someone else. So I want to leave you with those two sort of challenges for this podcast. And I really want to hear from you about this. How are you using your empathy against you that you need to turn towards you? Even if it means another person is hurt or disappointed or doesn't get what they want or whatever, that's okay, because that's their journey. And then how can you communicate in a way that's super clear and super simple about what you want and need in your life? Because those two things are huge when it comes to our partners, and how we got caught in this habit of partner pleasing is to ignore those things, to not ask for what we want and need, to be circuitous kind of, or not super clear about that. And then we end up angry at our partner. And then that empathy kicks in, you know, and we realize why they don't this or they don't that. And we silence ourselves. And there's no power for you in those two dynamics. So as we head deeper into the holiday season and break into, thank God, a new year in 2021, I really want to help you break this habit of partner pleasing. So let me know what you think in the comments, and I can't wait to hear how this works for you. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of Liberate Your People Pleaser. But don't go away just yet. I've got more for you. Right now, I have a special running on a coaching package that I put together specifically for partner pleasers. So this is how we show up in our romantic relationships. It's so important that we identify where people pleasing is silencing us, or where being overly empathetic is silencing us, how we're keeping the peace and really sacrificing our own wants and needs in our romantic relationships. So I put together this little package. I've got a special on it right now. 3 sessions. These are 1 hour, you know, full 1 hour sessions. And the 3 sessions are only $397. That's over 30% off of a typical first package of 3 sessions for anyone working with me. This is available for people who've worked with me in the past or for new clients. And you're going to get these 3 sessions because I know in romantic relationships, a group program just doesn't cut it. Usually, you know, you need to be with somebody you can talk about your specific problem, your specific argument that you have over and over, your specific challenge with setting a boundary or telling what you need or whatever it is. So I've designed this to be very private, one-on-one. You get 3 one-hour sessions plus a great little workbook I put together that'll help us evaluate your relationship and be better prepared for that first session. So you can get all that right now for $397. I've got the link in the show notes here. And I really hope that you'll take me up on this special offer, because it's a small investment compared to the benefits it can create in your own life, your own stress levels, and the, you know, spark in your relationship as well. So I hope you'll join me for that. Also, I'll put in the show notes my private Facebook group, Liberate Your People Pleasers, because I'd love to have you join me over there as well. The great conversations happening over there, more social media, you know, contact from me. And we do challenges and, you know, there's just different free resources I put in there as well. So I put that in the show notes for you too. And last but not least, I would love to answer your question, whether it's on partner pleasing or any topic that has to do with how people pleasing might be impacting your life. So I've got a form on my website that you can fill out and submit a question. So I'll put that link in the show notes as well. And until then, I will see you on the next episode of Liberate Your People Pleaser.